This is for my millennial. Baby, you got. Check.
The views and opinions expressed by Millennials Anonymous Podcast and their guests and contributors are of those guests and contributors and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the Millennials Anonymous Podcast. And any content provided by our content contributors or guests or anyone else are of their own opinions and are not intended to malign any religion, ethnic group, club, organization, company, individual, or anyone or anything. This is purely entertainment, folks. Now let's get.
Hey everybody, welcome back to a brand new episode of Millennials Anonymous Podcast. Yes, it is your girl Lise Winnie, and I am a festive millennial. Yes, I am. It is the week of Christmas. You know me, I love some festivities. Give me all of the festiveness and parties and all of it. I like it. I love it. And Christmas is my second favorite. Like I told y'all, my first favorite, Halloween, Christmas is next. Christmas is my shit, okay? It is my jam. And the reason why is because it was my family's jam. And Christmas at in the Johnson household was the shit. When I tell you it was the shit, we may not have had a lot of anything else. But when it came to Christmas, it took me a long time to realize Santa Claus wasn't a fucking real person.
Bruh.
Like, that's what I'm telling you. Like, we had the Barbie dream houses with the car, okay? We had the white and the black Barbie and Asian one, okay? We had the silver tea set in this bitch. All right, we had an easy bake oven, Super Nintendos in this bitch. Like, when I tell you, we threw down on Christmas listening to In My Mind, I Want You to Be Free. Like, I can smell the bacon and eggs. And if you from the DMV area, maybe Pennsylvania, we'll let y'all slide. Scrapple, I can smell it. That's how Christmas is to me. Christmas is to me what Christmas means to me, my love. And the Motown music. Yes, I know y'all like, you old bitch. I'm an old bitch, but I'm not like an old
Bruh.
Bitch yet. So I listen to that music because it's what my family listened to. My grandfather, that's what he listened to. And then he had my mother listen to it. And then she had me listen to it. And that's just how it is. And so when Christmas comes around, I only listen to old Christmas music. Like, I can't listen to, you know, this new shit. You know, I don't want to hear Lord whomever singing Christmas carols. Like, I can't do it. It was already bad enough in the 2000s when everybody had a Christmas album that I could barely listen to it then. But now, I don't want to hear Cardi B Christmas. I don't know if she got an album or not, but I don't want to hear Cardi B at Christmas time. Okay, I don't want to hear Meg Thee Stallion ho 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 album. I don't want to hear it. Like, that's just not what I want. Give me the classic Christmas music. Jackson 5, I want Jehovah's Witnesses to sing Christmas carols to me, bitch. Like, that's what I want. It's not Christmas till Jehovah's Witnesses sing Christmas carols to you in this bitch. That's how you know it's time to put up the tree. Okay, that is how you know. And it's nothing like punching a bitch in aisle 5 to get a cabbage patch. I remember them days. I'm not doing that, but I remember them days. My mother was in there boxing up to get a fucking cabbage patch or a tickle me goddamn Elmo. Like, it's just, that's what Christmas mean. It mean punching a bitch on aisle 11. All right, it's just, that's what it is. Now, Christmas, though, is stressful, so I don't want a lot of y'all parents to know I'm an overachieving gift giver. I'm gonna say that again. I give gifts because I listen to what people say and I try to get everything that they tell me. All right. I am an intuitive gift giver. And I think this is why me and my spouse have issues because men are not intuitive gift givers. They are last minute, let me spend as much money as I can because I didn't get this bitch nothing and I don't feel like hearing this bitch mouth. So let me go stand in line and buy her something that she never needed, but it costs a lot of money. So I gotta get some points for that. And that's how men shop. And so I am more like, oh, he said that he wanted to start running. Okay. So I think he may need some new running shoes so he don't crease his Jordans. And so I go get new running shoes in the water pack. Okay. And the little shit that you strap around your chest, I go get all of that and I put it in the watch. Okay. So that you go be in shape when you wanna go running. No, they just go get you some shit. Like, I knew, why would you get this? This is not for me. I never needed this ever in life, but you bought it. So there's that. I need the receipt. Thank you, please, and thank you. But our family is weird anyway, because my husband grew up Jehovah's Witness, so I'm raising Jehovah's Witness Christian children. I guess what you can call them, they Jehovah Christians. I don't know what you call them, but they are grow, so they're confused. In other words, my children are fucked up. So there you go. And they're so confused. They celebrate Christmas and then they hand you a watchtower. They don't know how to handle it. And it's just what we do. So maybe that's part of the reason with him, because he didn't grow up with this shit. So it's like, I don't know, do this. Like, this is new to him. It's uncharted waters. So yeah, it is what it is. But speaking of which, I did go to the wedding. I told y'all I was gonna tell you about it, and I did. So I went to the wedding, and when I tell you I showed my whole ass. Bruh. And literally and figuratively, I did. And yeah, it sounds like as bad as I'm saying it. Yeah, it was that bad. And because I got a dress. No, well, matter of fact, I didn't buy this dress. I had this dress. So I had purchased a dress that I was gonna wear, but it didn't fit. And because they just was like, oh, we gonna get married next week. And it was like, oh, what the fuck? So I had to go out and find a dress really quickly. And because I don't dress up, 99.9% of the time I'm in sweatpants or a sweat outfit. Okay, now if I'm in the building, I might wear jeans, okay? But it's not anything fancy. Like, you're not gonna see me dressed up. I don't dress up, and I damn sure don't wear heels because that shit hurts my feet. And I'm like, why the fuck, women? Why are we doing this? I get it. We wanna look cute, but is it worth the pain? Okay, the pain and the bunions y'all about to be having. I'm like, no, I'm good. So I don't wear that shit. So I had a dress because I was going to go out for my birthday, and I didn't go out for my birthday. Something happened. I don't remember. Somebody got sick or some shit. I think my daughter's classmate had COVID or something, and we had to quarantine. I don't even remember. Everything is just a blur. And so I just had this dress, and it was just sitting, and it was in this dress fit. So this dress is, I'm not going to say that it's not wedding flow. It's very much wedding. It could be wedding flow. But it's also very sexy. So this was a sexy dress because I was going to go out. It's going to be me and my husband. And we were going to go eat. And I was like, oh, yeah, I want to have my titties out and whatever. And my fat stomach and all of that. Because apparently anybody can wear a fucking half shirt now. Bruh. There's no rules or standards that they threw that shit out of the window. You can wear it whether you have a 60-pack ab or you got 6 tons of extra on the front. It doesn't matter. Anybody can wear it and it's fine. So I was like, fuck it. Since we have completely thrown it out of the window, because when I was younger, the bar was always so far. It was so far. Like, it was like, no, you can't wear that. And I was like, oh, okay. And us big girls, we understood that. But now, fuck it. So I had the stomach out, the titties is out. The back was in, though, so you couldn't see the back. And it has slits up the sides of your legs. So both of your legs technically could be out. But if you close the slit, it just looks like it's a dress. And it's very, very long. So you have to wear heels. Otherwise, you will be walking over fabric. So I wore it. And you ever wore something in the house and you felt good in it home? Like, I was like, I felt comfortable. I felt confident. I felt, oh, this is, I look, oh, look at my titties. Ooh, look, it felt like I could breastfeed a nation. Like, it was like, oh, they were sitting up. It was good. It was like, oh. Now, I didn't get the tape. If you are a man and you don't know, if you wear a dress where you have your, basically, you have your breast exposed, you must, and if you have larger breasts, you gotta have tape. You gotta tape them bitches down, or you gonna be, it's gonna be a different kind of party, and that bitch, just, you know, I mean, you might have to get a couple ones off the ground, and it's gonna be different. And my shoes was clear. I had clear heels, and my titties was out. So, you know, it was really, it was one of them things. So I was like, bitch, what is you doing? But I felt so confident, and I was like, oh, I look good. It's good. You know, it had long sleeves, so it's like, I felt like I was covered, but yet the good parts were out. So I was like, okay. And if I closed the fabric, you couldn't see my legs. So it wasn't too, I wasn't overly exposed. Or so I thought. And when you start moving and your titties is out, your titties is out. And so the next thing you know, you nipping and slipping. You got to keep pulling. And it was like, it was one of them things. And because I had the slit, and one time my daughter was with me, I didn't want to bring my youngest daughter because she is active as fuck, but they insisted, so she came. And so I had to grab something, and next thing you know, the fabric flew over and it was just ass and leg just out. It was just out. And I'm like, oh Lord. So you have to know. And I danced my ass off. Anywhere I go, like, if you invite me to a party, I'm gonna dance. That's what I do, especially if you give me alcohol. This is why I don't drink. This is why I have three kids, by the way, as well. But this is why I don't drink. I will dance and 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 dance some more, because that is what I do. I have ho in my bloodline. Do you hear me? Ho flows through my blood. Ho, ho, ho in this bitch. It flow in my veins. It is in there. When I tell you I have, okay, sometimes it be peeping out. You know, I am not a hoe, but because I don't hoe. You know, I don't want a hoe. I don't have hoe tendencies. Like, you gotta have hoe knees and like hoe jawbones. And I was like, I don't have that. Okay, I'm not SZA. Don't come here on Saturday and Sunday. I don't have Saturday Sunday shit for you. Come back Monday through Friday. Okay, I'm a Monday through Friday kind of bitch. I'm just gonna throw that out there. But it peep out sometime, and it be like, ooh, ooh, it just fall on the floor. And I'm like, okay, let me pick that shit up, because I got to get my hoe back in, because it be hoeing. And I was like, okay, all right, this is why this bitch don't drink. Yeah, that's a hoe over there. That's a hoe in this bitch. And I was like, okay, this not what I expected to do today, but this was happening. So there was that, but congratulations to the happy couple. Yeah. And I don't regret a thing. I would do it again. I'm just saying, don't invite me to shit. I'm just saying, just don't invite me, because if that's what the fuck's that's what I'm gonna do. That's what the fuck I'm gonna do if you invite me. I'm just saying. I'm just, you know, it is what it is. And it is still the holiday season. See, I told you I'm an overachieving gift giver. I was giving the joy of laughter and entertainment. Okay, that's what I do. I'm just saying, that's what I do. So you just gotta be prepared, and that's what I do. So it is what it is. Okay, y'all get a pencil and pen. I'm gonna set the move. Now, I will say that I am ready to sit back and watch Christmas movies and drink. So, okay, here's the thing. Is eggnog not what we doing? Like, I've heard a lot of people that like eggnog, but then I've heard quite a few people that don't. Like, is eggnog still the shit? I can drink eggnog. I used to could drink eggnog at Thanksgiving. Now I cannot. I don't know if it's because I'm getting older. You know, when you get old, you get, you know, your stomach is like, you can't do that because you can't. You ever just wake up and not realize after you get a certain age, you can't do that shit no more? But it's just like at the wrong time, like, didn't realize I couldn't do that. That's how eggnog is with me. Like, I can't drink that shit all the time. Like, as a kid, I could just, yeah, throw that shit back. Like, yum, 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 yum. As an adult, they gonna have to call a paramedic, okay? Because I'm gonna need fluids and water for many, many days after I drink eggnog, because I'm going to shit for at least 5 days straight. So I can't drink eggnog no more. So I'm ready to eat food for Christmas time. We don't eat traditional Christmas food like ham and mashed potatoes and shit, because I'm like, we just did that. Like, we just ate that shit at Thanksgiving. I don't want to eat that shit again. I don't know about y'all, but if I've eaten food for more than 2 days, which my family, we kept eating that shit probably to the point of, okay, this shit about to get y'all food poisoning, which FYI, I almost gave myself food poisoning the other day, because I'm a whole grown up adult who did not read it. And it was this chicken. So chicken companies, please don't bread not cook chicken, okay? Because I didn't read this shit and I put the shit in the air fryer. Now, mind you, I thought this was one of those like chicken patties that were done. Like, and I don't like my shit to get too, because if you put it in an air fryer and you overcook it, which I'm not the best air fryer. And you're probably like, bitch, that's an Easy Bake Oven. Like, how the fuck did you fucking this shit up? I fucked up Easy. When I tell you I fucked up Easy Bake Oven and that shit was being cooked with a light bulb, it's saying a lot. Like, I don't even know how I did that shit, but that's what had happened. But if you leave it in the air fryer too long, that shit gonna be hard as fuck. Like, you gonna need a new dental plan. And so I make sure that I don't leave it in there for the full time. I take that shit out. And so that's what I did. I didn't leave that shit in there. And when I tell you, that shit was good. It was hitting. I was like, that slimy ass half done. It was hitting until I realized I couldn't chew the middle. And I was like, okay, this shit is not done. And that's when it started. I was like, oh no, please don't get salmonella. But I didn't. Luckily, I didn't. Because I don't think I leave that shit down. Like, no, you're too old for this shit. But to be fair, I was really hungry and I hadn't eaten that day, and I was really hungry. But my favorite song around this time to set the mood, because I was talking about the mood and setting the mood with Motown, but my favorite Christmas song is Silent Night is up there. Okay, that's one of the songs that I have to hear in order for it to seem like Christmas, because you know he's like, in my mind I want you to be free, and he made you listen. Like, you know, he told you to listen, okay? He told you to listen, and then he told you, you hear the words that he is saying. Like, he was really making sure that you knew he wanted you to have a merry motherfucking Christmas. He was like, you gonna have a merry motherfucking Christmas out here. You gonna listen to me, damn it. Ain't nobody come to see you, Otis. You gonna listen to me, damn it. And that's why I like that song. That song is, every black person knows that. Play the beginning of the song. I don't care where you at, every black person gonna stop and they gonna sing it. All of them. They might not even have heard it yet. It's just in the bloodline. Like, they just gonna start singing that. Let me do my top five. So my top five favorite Christmas songs of all time: Silent Night by The Temptations, Mariah Carey, All I Want for Christmas Is You, Happy Holidays by The Whispers, Up on a Housetop. Wait a minute. What Christmas Means to Me by Stevie Wonder. I gotta drop him down. Hollis. Christmas in Hollis by Run DMC is number two. And then Up on a Housetop by Jackson 5 is my top five. Now, there's a song that's 1++, but most of you won't know the song, so I don't really add in. And you don't hear the song everywhere. You actually have to know where to get the song in order to hear it. And it's Fat Daddy by Paul Johnson. And no, we're not related. he was like this a DJ in Baltimore, and this was a song that he would play during Christmas time, and my grandfather would sing this song to me, and this is why it is so it resonates with me so much because of nostalgia. But probably from a listening standpoint, it's got to be Up on a Housetop, because that song gets you there. Okay, not Mommy Kissing Santa Claus. Like, I like that song, it's on the list. Even Destiny's Child, I didn't, when that song first came out, I did not like Destiny's Child's Christmas. I'm not gonna lie, he's like, no, why Beyonce, why you do this? I didn't like it. But now, I can fuck with that song pretty heavy. And This Christmas by Chris Brown is always a good one. Like, I like his version of This Christmas very, very much, actually. But I will also say that Jeremiah's song that he has for Christmas is also a really... It has a reminiscent vibe. And when it comes to the best Christmas movies... Because here's the thing. A lot of people be throwing... movies, Christmas movies in the ring. Every movie that had a Christmas scene in it isn't a Christmas movie. Like, it has to be Christmas-centered movies. Now, I will say that I will throw the first Gremlin movie in the hat to be one of them movies, because it was Christmassy, okay? It had a Christmas vibe. It was at Christmas time. So, Gremlins is a Christmas... I don't give a fuck. Gremlins, the first one, is a Christmas movie. Okay, it is a Christmas classic. You hear me? But my favorite Christmas movies of all time. Now, you need to make sure you get your music right. I gave you y'all music list. Now, I'm gonna give you the movie list of all the movies. This is what you watch for Christmas Eve. Now, mind you, get you some eggnog. Not a lot, because you don't want to be with the shits. Get you a few, or get you some vegan eggnog. I be drinking that. That's actually pretty good. So get you some vegan eggnog, okay? You gonna get you some pizza. You probably like, ew, bitch, that's nasty, you know, putting that together. It, trust me, it worked, okay? It worked on that one day of the year. It worked. So get you that and some Christmas cocktails, because your kid's gonna be getting on your goddamn nerves, okay? So then get that together. And then here is the list of movies you and your boo-boo can be sitting down and watching, okay? When you wait for them fucking kids to go to sleep, so you put the shit on the tray. Listen, this is what you do. You go on a first, you got to set the tone. I don't watch sad shit, okay? I don't do that. Life is sad enough. I don't need more sad. And every Christmas film is sad. Like, if it's not a romantic Christmas, it is sad. Sad. Like, the mother died, the father died, a kid leg fell off, they homeless, they don't got no food. Like, I can't get with that. All right, I don't want that. On Christmas, no, fuck it. No, I don't want that. But here's what you do, okay? You get you some laughter, some humor. Home Alone. So you gotta watch Home Alone. Home Alone is first, okay? That's five, all right? So Home Alone is five. Now, this one isn't really funny, but it's the shit. It is called The Year Without a Santa Claus, and that shit is fucking, that's, I knew as a kid when I was watching it, now that shit wasn't out when I was a kid, I ain't that damn old, fuck you. But that song, them songs in that, they be hitting. When the heat miser and the cold miser come up that bitch, tries. Now, some people saying that Die Hard is a Christmas movie. Now, if Die Hard is a Christmas movie, Home Alone got to get knocked off, you got to watch Die Hard, the first one. Okay, they was at the Christmas party or whatever. I don't think that's a Christmas movie, but there's a debate that it could be. So, depending on whether or not you consider that a Christmas movie, Die Hard is there. If it's not, it's Home Alone. Put on Elf. So, Elf is I love that. I can watch Elf even when it's not Christmas. That is how much I love that movie. That movie is fucking hilarious. Will Ferrell is fucking hilarious. Faison is love is in that movie is fucking hilarious. Like, I love that. He's an angry elf. Like, I love that movie. Okay, love that fucking movie. Then you gotta turn on Scrooge. Listen, would I tell you that movie? Bill Murray? What? Fuck, no, we gotta take Home Alone off the list. I missed one. A Christmas Story goes at the bottom of this list. So number five is either Die Hard or A Christmas Story, okay? But my number one is National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. That movie is the all-time, fuck A Wonderful Life, okay? Fuck it. I said it. Fuck that movie. It's National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation is the best Christmas movie to me of all time. To me, this is my opinion. This is what I think. Okay, this is my opinion, not your opinion, my opinion. Okay, best Christmas movie of all time, hands down, without a shadow of a doubt. Best Christmas movie of all time. Hilarious movie. Set that Christmas goddamn mood over this bitch, because that's what you want, that's what you need. All right, get you your pizza, like I said, because you eat your pizza for Christmas Eve. At least that's what I did. Maybe I grew up like white out. I don't know, maybe because that's what we did. It was like, now we wasn't white like that. Like, I wasn't eating pizza with milk. Like, I couldn't even do that shit in school. I was like, why would you do this to us? Like, no, we kids, but we think this shit nasty. You giving us this square ass, melty ass milk of magnesia pizza with this fucking milk? Ew. I still can't eat that shit to this day. Like, that shit will make me sick. And I was supposed to do the friend thing. I didn't ask anybody. I had shit to do. I'm sorry. I did. I'm gonna try to get better in the new year and plan this shit out like a normal human. But I don't be planning it out. And it's hard to stockpile episodes when you do the news from week to week. It's really hard to do that. So that's why I have not really stockpiled a lot of my episodes. Now, sometimes I do record it earlier where it, you know, it will record like a week in advance or a couple days in advance. But I've never like stockpiled. Like, it's some people that are just sitting on like 6 months of just like shows. I don't have that. I'm just telling y'all, I got maybe a one in a possible over here. Like, I don't have that. And for you next week, yes, it will be a re-air. From Brunchin. So a lot of you guys have never listened to Brunchin or never listened to me on Brunchin. So it will be a re-air because those episodes are going. They will be gone. Finito. Finished. Done. Even on Facebook, January 2022, they're going to be gone. So you won't be able to get them. And I was like, I don't want to lose all this great content. So like I told y'all last time, so you will get that. It'll be a re-air of Headcrack's interview, which we had a really good time talking to him. So it's going to be a re-air of him. Really dope guy too. He's really nice. Like, sometimes people you meet and they're awkward and mean. Like, he was neither. He was very, very nice. And just genuine. You don't meet a lot of people like that. Just even in real life, not even in the celebrity world, but just in real life. You don't meet a lot of genuine souls, and he's one of them. D-Lay is also one of them. But Headcrack was another one, by the way. Now, let me get to this, because you know it's the week of Christmas. You know I do it. I'm not going to say every year, because that's a fucking lie. But I did it last year. At COVID, and I was like, oh, let me get a little bit coochie on you. Well, not, that's not like coochie. No, that's not what I'm trying to say. But I tried to get cheeky, okay? And we did top 10 trending topics as 'twas the night before Christmas. So it was 'twas the night before top 10 trending topics. So because they are millennial minutes, it's going to be 'twas the night before millennial minutes. And we're going to go through it and do it for you. Do it. Let's get to it. I don't even like this ghetto ass news. Night before millennial minutes. 'Twas the night before millennial minutes when all through the house, all the creatures were stirring because Joe Biden won't pause student loan repayments again. The Dems were all strung out in the Senate, oh yeah. As Joe Manchin says, forget them hoes, the election gon' soon be here. And these son of a bitches don't know I'm from West Virginia, where all the Republicans is bred. The Republicans were all nestled and snug in their seats, with visions of gerrymandering dancing all through their dreams. And Jake Paul, now a boxer, and that's no cap. He had just knocked Tyrone Woodley the fuck out for his career's long winter's nap. When out of a condom, there arose such a clatter. The public sprang to IG to see what was the matter. It was Tristan Thompson, again like a cheating flash, cheating and lying on the fifth edition of Khloe Kardashian. With a mumble-like rapper appearing so lively and quick, we knew in a moment it must be Future. More far-fetched than his children, he started to talk out of hand. And he whistled and he shouted and he mumbled and disrespected Jay-Z, Sean Carter, and Jigga Man. Now COVID, she is here and she ain't leaving. What a bitch. She called all her family and they ain't leaving. Ain't that a trip? On COVID-19, on Delta, on Omicron, to the top of New York, to the top of the Texas wall. Now dash away, dash away, dash away all. And then in a twinkle, we heard on page 6, Pete and Kim went out again. As Gorilla Glue Girl was washing her hair, she started snatching her edges bald once again. But I heard somewhere exclaim, "Merry Christmas to all and to all a good ass night."
Ho, ho, ho! Merry Christmas to everybody!
All right, yep. I think I'll keep doing that until I don't do this shit anymore. Because it's short. Like, I just can keep Millennial Minutes so short. It'd be short and I'd be loving it. But let's get serious. And in all sincerity, we have so much stuff to talk about. First of all, student loans repayments are coming back. So student loans will start back in February. I think I said the end of January, but I think it's February. And they're saying that it is a priority for the White House to make sure that they do start back up. Now, listen, I get it that y'all have not had a win and it seems like y'all been giving away a lot of money and all of this type of stuff. But Joe, everybody else hates you already. Like, it at this point, your poll numbers is so low. You couldn't sign a piece of paper up under that limbo bar. Like, that's how low that shit is. So at this point, why don't y'all, you just help the people that help us help you? Like, I can't help us help you, Joe, if my student loan repayment coming back real soon. And I don't want it to seem like I don't want to pay my student loans. Because I know some of y'all like, bitch, I paid on my student loan. What the fuck you talking about? Like, I did that. And I'm happy for you. I really am happy for you. But some of us had got gypped. And I'm like, and you can't even take this shit back. Like, you know, hey, I don't need this. This shit ain't work. Like, can you just take this shit back? Like, I don't need this paper. Like, if this paper costs this much, I don't need this paper. Like, you can have this paper. I don't need this. Just take this paper back. I'll get me some different paper. I want to return it. It's like, give me the number so I can call it. I want to return it. It's not working. Okay, this paper not working. I took it out. I fanned myself with it. Nothing. It's not working. So can you take that back? Can you please? And the craziest part is that I know, like, the Biden administration wanted to say that they were, you know, really progressive and they wanted to help people. If you really truly want to help people, the most impacted by the student loan debt crisis are Black women. We are the most highly educated subgroup of people who have degrees in the United States of America. It's Black women. I don't know if you guys know that, but it's Black girl brilliance in this bitch. Like, we all went because we believed the lie. The lie was that if you went to school, okay, you would make all of this money. People will be knocking down your door as soon as you get that piece of paper, that piece of expensive ass $30,000 parchment paper or however much it costs these days. People will be knocking down your door to get to you just because you got that piece of paper. And the only way to not be on welfare and to not be poor is to get this goddamn piece of paper. That is what they fed to millennials. Poor millennials, it was pull yourself up by your bootstrap. The pull yourself up by your bootstrap was go to college. And so a lot of women, especially, followed suit and went to college. And then that ended up being a total lie. Like, if you can't sell somebody stuff because it's consumer fraud, that's something that is completely false, and there are consumer protections against that. I think there should be consumer protections for colleges. They have it for for-profit colleges, and I know this for a fact because I used to work for one. Obama passed a law where your degree couldn't cost more than how much you would make. So if you were, let's say, you went to school and they had a degree for, like, I don't know, culinary arts, right? And you went to a for-profit university. The college couldn't charge you $100,000 for this degree.
Okay.
Unless you had the capability of making $100,000. That is not the case for public institutions. And then on top of that, they are charging you fucking interest. Like, the what kills most people is the interest. Like, the true 10-year challenge, like, remember y'all was showing pictures of yourself 10 years ago? No. That's not the flex. The flex is, let me see them student loans. That's the 10-year challenge I want to see. Do them bitches look different?
Okay.
Or do they look the same? Like, sometimes I feel like you've been paying on that shit for 15. Like, I paid off one of my student loans. Like, I have multiple, but I paid off, like, one. I'm about to pay off two of them bitches. But, you know, you be looking at the shit like, I know I could have bought a kidney or something. Like, it's been, like, I've been paying y'all forever. And the shit just keep adding on. My suggestion, and I don't know if y'all like this suggestion. Listen to my plan, okay? Here go my plan. Lease for president and this bitch, okay? Here is my solution. Now, this is not the best solution, and it's not problem-free. There are some issues with this, but I live in reality. I know that there's not a magical student loan unicorn that's going to come and wipe out all these student loans. Like, waiting for somebody to wipe up all these student loans is like waiting for reparations. Like, this shit is never coming. It's not happening in the United States of America, and if it do, it's not going to look the way you want it to. Let's just be real. Like, if we're going to be real, let's be real. But if they wanted to solve at least a part of the student loan crisis, here's what I think should happen. They should give you the option. So since some people have actually worked really, really hard and they paid off their student loans, and no, people that didn't go to college shouldn't have to pay for a student loan for somebody that did. However, if those people default on their loans and they can't buy houses and they can't move the economy, you're going to suffer anyway. I just want to let you know that. It's just, you may not know, but you're about to find out. Because a lot of people that have the degrees are the ones that that will go on to probably start and be entrepreneurs. Not always, but a lot of them do, because a lot of the fastest growing population, again, of entrepreneurs are Black women. Why? Because no one else will open the door. We have to do a jump 15 hoops to move up the ladder. And so a lot of people just were like, fuck it, I'll just do it myself. And so you have a lot of these people who have degrees and they go start these businesses. So then they become the business owners. Okay, you know, we are, a lot of us become the business owners. So you don't want them to completely drop out. But you don't want the people that didn't go to college, the working class, to be holding the bag for someone else. You give people the option to file bankruptcy. Because right now, there is no option. So you just gonna have student loans till you die. Like, that's the option. Like, you either pay that shit off, you default, and they keep taking your taxes and everything else you get in life, and they try to take all your stuff and your house and the equity and all of whatever you got, because it's the, you know, it's the federal government. They gonna get their shit. You best believe it. It's like taxes. They gonna get your shit. Even though, like my favorite comedian said, you don't really pay taxes. They take taxes. Like, that's how it happened when you default on your student loans. They take that shit. They just take it. Like, you don't even have an option. You don't have a choice. You get calls, say, hey, Uncle Sam, you know, I'm little light, okay? Little light this week. I was wondering if you could speak to Aunt America. And remember, she had said that she was going to look out for me. And it was the land for the free. But I don't feel very free, Uncle Sam. So if you could call her or something, because this ain't working. but they gonna take that shit. Give the option of bankruptcy, because there's a, everybody who has student loans, because that will impact people. So you can't, it's gonna be hard for you to buy a house, it's gonna be hard for you to buy a car. You would have to literally start all over. So it's gonna deter some people. So if you can actually pay your student loans, you're less likely to file bankruptcy. But if you cannot pay your student loans, you have an option that doesn't require dismemberment or death. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to lose a limb and be permanently disabled to not have to worry about student loans. And the only good thing is that if you die and your parent, well, if you die and your parent is on your student loan, I don't know if y'all know this, that shit, they still gonna take that shit. Like, they still are gonna keep going after whoever else is on that loan. But if you're the only person that signed the loan, then it stopped. Like, you don't have to worry about your children, have to worry about student loans from a degree they can't do nothing with. No, they won't continue to take it. It will stop. But I think that there should be that option. Write y'all senators and propose my option. I think it's a good option for people because, like I said, it will deter the people who can actually pay the student loans and just being like, I don't want to pay my student loans back. It will deter them because it was like, if you took the loan out, which they didn't give you a lot. Like, this is the only time for a lot of poor, especially poor black and brown people, that they would give you money. Now, that is how you know it was a trap. The only time anybody will give a young 17, 18 year old black or brown person they're giving them a $10,000 check. Matter of fact, it's bigger than that. It's probably like a $20,000, $30,000 check with a $10,000 loan refund. Is if it's a trap. That shit is a trap. They just didn't tell you that shit when you were signing it and you had no concept of money. They give you that shit and you sign an exit loan. Oh, yeah, it's gonna be, $17,000 worth of interest a day. Yeah, And you just sign it. Click, 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 because you want to get the fuck out the financial aid office. Not knowing you signing your whole future away. And then if you get married, your debt is his debt. His debt is your debt. They was rewriting your whole life, signing away that fucking trap. You didn't even know it. You was just, I'm gonna get them shoes. You don't even know where them shoes at. I'm gonna get that new hair. I'm get them shoes. Y'all was just writing. Y'all thought y'all was Thomas Jefferson and that bitch signing a like was the fucking Constitution or some shit. The Declaration of Independence in this bitch. You was just debt. We are indebted servants to the student loan repayment system. That's what we are. I'm gonna make a shirt and put that shit on it. Instead of indentured servants, we are indebted servants to student loan repayment. That's where the fuck we at. Just saying, that's where we at. What's what we doing? We there. That's celebrities fighting. I'm tired. Please stop. Stop it. No more fighting. No more fighting. Now, I will say that dark skin dudes is losing. Like, y'all really out here losing right now. Like, dark skin dudes is losing. Y'all is on a losing streak this week. And it's not looking good. And I don't know what to do about it. Because I was all team y'all. And then now it's like, it's looking embarrassing. Okay. Because not to mention, Tyrone got called. He got knocked out by Jake Paul. Okay. He got knocked the fuck out. Frank Gore. Okay, Frank, listen to me. Frank, you was fighting a basketball player. You know, just from sheer numbers, you know, you would think, okay, he got more weight on him, but then again, the basketball player is taller. Okay, I don't know. This Chris Brown looking dude beat the fuck out of your face to the point where you was like, oh, this is not what I signed up for. You are mean now. Y'all, we can't have this. I need for whoever's making these fights to stop. None of these fights make any sense at all. You got somebody who weighed 250 pounds or somebody to weigh like 180. Like this just doesn't go to, they wouldn't even fight each other in real boxing. They wouldn't even be in each other's weight class. They wouldn't do it. So I was like, why are we doing this? Why do we keep doing this? And who is paying for it? Why are y'all buying this shit? Because if y'all would stop buying it, they would stop doing it. But you keep buying this $67 shit, $70, $80, $100. Y'all are paying to watch this. This is terrible. This stuff is trash. Like, it's not even good. It's just straight trash. And then now you have people like Le'Veon Bell. He played for the Ravens for like 5 minutes. But he was a Steelers fan most of his career. He wants to fight Jake Paul. And I'm like, this is, because now everybody knows that's where the money is at. And I get that celebrities, if you like a lower round celebrity, because I don't see like Beyonce and Rihanna getting in a ring like, let's beat the fuck out of each other. Like, I don't see that happening. I think it's only going to be like your athletes or some of the other maybe lower level celebrities might like, hey, I want to jump in this. You know, you ain't going to see no A-listers in here. But y'all are fucking it up for the people that are really amateur boxers that are going through the circuit. First of all, boxing is a brutal fucking sport. Like, it's not for the faint of heart. Anybody can do it. Just because you a big motherfucker don't mean you can fight. You got to be fast. You got to have stamina out this bitch. Like, it's not, you got to have footwork. Your feet got to, you got, your feet can't be flicked. You got to have good feet. Okay, you can't be out here. I'm tired. I don't want to see it no more. I'm tired of these celebrities now. I don't want to see no more celebrities fighting. I don't want to see no more celebrities boxing. Like, this is not it. Y'all are just stop. And speaking of podcasting and stopping, Rick Ross decided that he was gonna go on the 85 South show and then leave the 85 South show in the middle of the show. So he went 85 South while he was supposed to be on the 85 South show. Okay. Now, a lot of people were clowning Rick Ross for this, and they were saying that, you know, he clogged his toilet and he a bunch of shit. Now, I think it was unprofessional of him to leave in the middle of an interview. He didn't even tell them he was leaving. He said he had to go to the bathroom. So at that point, when he got up, he knew he was leaving, which is a bitch move. Because I'm like, okay. Let's say you get there, right? And they asking questions, and you're like, damn, y'all didn't ask me this question like 15 times in a row, but you keep rewording it, and I'm tired of answering these same questions, and you really not asking me nothing. Like, I could, you know, if he felt that way, he should have just said it. Like, he should have said, man, you know what? I gotta go. Like, I got shit to do. I'm busy. You know, or if he had an emergency pop up, just say, hey, yo, I got an emergency. I got to go. Sorry. So sorry. We couldn't have spoken longer. I'll come back one day. You know, we can chop it up. Maybe I'll have you come to, where you live at? Florida. I had you come to Florida and you can come to my house and we'll do it there. And I'm so sorry. And I'll send y'all all some chicken wings, okay? Everybody can get some chicken wings and some wrap snacks, okay? And I'm going to send you a bottle of champagne. I'll send it to you. Like, whatever he needed to do is what he should have did before he left. Because it was very abrupt. It was rude. And I'm surprised because is it filmed live? I don't know if the 85 South show is filmed live, because if it wasn't filmed live, I probably would have just edited that out, you know, had him, because you could have probably really, in the edit room, you could have made that shit hilarious. You hear me? hilarious in the edit room. Made him say all kind of shit. And say, hey, motherfucker, if you would have stayed, then, you know, it is what it is. And I know somebody was saying, like, I was reading somebody post something, and they were talking about how rude it was that he left. And somebody in the comment was like, well, yeah, it's rude, and he'll probably get slapped with a lawsuit for breaking the contract. Now, I seriously, to be totally honest with you, a lot of platforms, even the bigger ones, which I didn't realize this, don't use paperwork. And when you sign, when you are booked on, and I could be completely wrong, but when you're booked on a show like that, it's more so like your clearances for you to be on the show and, you know, to be able to use your likeness and re-air it and snippets and stuff like that. It's usually stuff like that. I didn't think that it was a contract, like you have to show up and you have to stay, because technically he did show up. He just didn't stay. So I don't think he'll get sued or anything like that. I think that they probably will be a little bit more wary of Rick Ross going forward. So I think that this doesn't look good for Rick Ross, because a lot of people don't like Rick Ross, and Rick Ross kind of has like a bad, not always, but it seems to be that he has like this narrative that kind of follows him, that he's not like this stand-up guy. Like when I spoke to the real Rick Ross, I think he had mentioned something like that. Or no, it wasn't when I spoke to him. I think it was no, I take that back. When I was watching something with him on it, matter of fact, he might have been on Drink Champs when he said it. And I was watching something that he was on, I think it was Drink Champs, where he was talking about Rick Ross and how Rick Ross told him that he was gonna, you know, work with him and he was gonna see him and they were gonna work together and do stuff together. And then when he got out, he changed his number. So it seems like this very, you know, person that doesn't really have a lot of integrity, they don't really have a lot of coof to them, they kind of burn bridges if he believes that you're not on his level. It seems to be like a pattern. So I don't know why Rick Ross would do this, especially in such an open platform, because unless this is a setup for something else, this doesn't look good. And I know Rick Ross has PR people. I know he has people that probably could have stayed there and said, hey, I'll fall back, I'll handle this, you know, talk to them while he's in the bathroom, like, hey, he got something to do, we gotta go, it was an emergency, sorry about that, he'll send you some lemon pepper, you know, flats, you want some lemon pepper flats, he gonna send you that. Like, he could at least, at the very minimum, done that. But I think we've all been, if you've been on a platform, we've all been on a platform where we've spoken to people, even if they're on your platform, it's like, God damn, I want this to end. Like, this needs to end. I'm ready for it to be over. Like, I have a few. Now, most people, if I'm being honest, I can talk to anyone. Most anyone. I'm not going to say anyone, but most anyone. I've talked to people who were Trump supporters. I've talked to people who were comedians or people who thought they were fucking comedians. I've talked to people who had completely polar opposites, you know, opinions for me. I've talked to people who've never talked to press before and they have nothing to say. I've talked to people who don't know how to articulate themselves. I've been in these situations where it's like, I just want this to end. This shit is boring, it's dry, I don't like you, the vibe is off. Like, I've been in, and I'm not saying that because it seems like he liked them. So I'm not saying that was the case. I don't know what the fuck happened. Maybe his stomach was hurting and maybe he saw the EN or something. He was like, okay, the boss, stomach is boss. Like, he was like, maybe, ooh, he like, ooh. You know, he's like, yeah, I got to go. Like, he, you know, get them bubble guts and you can feel it in your stomach and you got to go. Like, maybe that's what the fuck had happened. Sometime it be like that. But I've been there, but I never have abruptly ended anything. Were there times where I cut it short? Yes. Yep. Some people, I cut the shit short. They didn't even know. Like, I was like, okay, this shit is done. Gotta get out, fuck out of here. This is close. This is a tight. So-and-so, we got to go. You got to go. I didn't even know. Because you got to be able to maneuver it in a way where it's not abrupt. Like, you don't just abruptly leave. Like, oh, I gotta go. I gotta go. I gotta go. So, I think he should do that. Bring them back out. Give them an hour of their time so that they can have a full show. And the fact that they continue to show for their fans and they made sure they still had an episode that week and it wasn't a short episode. Because honestly, I think a lot of people who don't do podcasting on a regular basis, I'm almost certain they would have cut that shit short at him leaving. And then they would have came back next week and said, Rick Ross left and he was gone and that's why we left. I don't think they would have continued on. I think a lot of people don't know how to handle like everything is good when it's good. Like when shit is flowing and it's good, but when you get, that's how you know the difference between the good podcasters and the bad ones or the not so good ones, because the good ones can work through anything. And I'm not talking about, oh, well, it was kind of, you know, boring. I didn't like them. No. Cause I'm like, especially if you're the host, you bring the vibe. If you're saying that I talked to somebody and it was boring and it was drab and it was, that's on you. This your show. If you can't bring the best out of somebody that's on your show, that shit is on you. Not them. It's on you. So you have to pay attention to that. And I think they did a really good job. This was podcasting 101. This is how you pod. This is how you work through issues. If stuff happens while you are live or stuff happens on air or stuff happens, period, this is how you work through it. You got to keep going. Okay? That he fell through. Plan B in this motherfucker. Let's keep going. Come on. And I think another reason why they were so good at this, because they're all comedians. One of the things that you'll know that if you are a comedian, being a comic is hard anyway, and I've talked to you why it's hard, but you have to think on your feet. You got to be quick. You have to start to think on your feet and be able to adjust, and I think this is why they were able to do that, because they were able to use that comic brain and switch gears. A lot of other people, not going to be able to do that. They're just going to be stuck. And then you'll hear them complain next week. But they're not going to be able to keep going. And I like the way it didn't even bring down the vibe. Like, they just kept going. Bravo to them. This is what you do. And this is why sometimes you don't always want those bigger interviews. Because the bigger people, sometimes they don't value you. So shout out to them for being able to turn that shit around. But this is where skills come in, and skills meet skills, and being comedians really helped them, and being live, you know, because they travel and they do live shows, and being able to do a live show is really what's going to do it for you. So they was able to do that, and I appreciate that. This has been another episode of Millennials Anonymous Podcast. Make sure you come back again next week. We will be re-airing that Headcrack interview. Like I said, he's a really dope guy, so you're going to want to listen to this, especially if you are a fan, because, you know, he was formerly on the Ricky Smiley Morning Show, and if you are also a fan of the Morning Hustle, you're going to want to listen in. And he actually makes music as well. And speaking of some dope-ass music, he actually does have some dope-ass music, by the way. So make sure you get in on this, okay? You get in. Come on in here. Come on in here and make sure you listen to that, okay? And I also want you guys to have a fantastic holiday, because the holiday season is among us. And be happy with your family. Be here with your family. It's not about what you get. It's not about what you get. Well, maybe a little bit about what you give, but it's more about being with your family. It's really all that matters, because like I said, in the Midwest, there was people that family members won't be home for the holidays, and they did not expect them to not be there. So make sure you cherish the people that you have while you have them. Love them, hug them, be with them. That is the gift, because you just never know when and how many Christmases you got left. You just don't know. So enjoy your... I didn't want to be morbid. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Enjoy your holiday. I appreciate each and every one of you. I love you guys. Have a fantastic, merry, happy Christmas.